Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the mainstream media, they are spinning all the stories that have to do with FISA. They'll be spinning a lot of other stories when a lot of information starts to break, because they are being pushed into a corner. And this is exactly what the Patriots want. They want them to spin the stories. They want them to continually, knowingly lie about what has been really happening. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But first, we understand that Kevin Kleinsmith, he is going to sing like a bird. He's making a deal. And there's going to be more indictments, including conspiracy charges and others, that will be coming down the pike. And Devin Nunes, he was being interviewed on Fox, and he says, "We have now have more evidence that the Department of Justice is working on individual indictments for clear crimes made by deep state individuals involved in Obamagate, similar to the indictment of Kleinsmith this past week. But the major overreaching indictments related to conspiracies are also in the works." And Nunes also noted that there's a couple of important items related to the Durham investigation. He says, "We've made 14 criminal referrals from our exhaustive 3.5-year investigation, and there is plenty to look at here." Now, what's really incredible about this is that just about a year ago, he said there were 8 referrals. So it went from 8 to 14 now, which is very interesting. And among the people who signed the FISA application include James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Sally Yates, and Andrew McCabe. And Nunes said the following: "The third is what I would call a global leak referral. So there are about a dozen highly sensitive classified information leaks that were given to only a few reporters over the past 2.5+ years. So, you know, we don't know if there's actually been any leak investigations that have been open, but we do believe that we've got pretty good information and pretty good idea of who could be behind these leaks." Now, remember, this is just the beginning. The FISA is the start. This is the lead-in to everything else. Because remember, James Comey, he knew Carter Page was a CIA asset when he signed the multiple FISA warrants to spy on Carter Page and Trump. He knew this because Carter Page told him. Carter Page, before the first FISA warrant application, he sent Comey a direct letter that said, "I work for the CIA. I'm not a Russian spy." Nunes has a copy of this letter. These individuals have been trapped by the cover-up. And this is what Paul Sperry tweeted out: "When Kleinsmith lawyer claims it was never his intent to mislead the court of his colleagues, as he believed the information he relayed was accurate, he is contradicting the court filing, which states he did knowingly," and there's that word, "knowingly, falsified document, knowing it contained false statements." Now, if Kevin Kleinsmith, if he knowingly knew all of this, James Comey knowingly knew this, Sally Yates, all the way up to Obama, they all knew. And that brings me back to Post 3638. This is December 2nd, 2019, 18 U.S. Code, Chapter 115, Treason, Sedition, Subversive Activities. And this is Section 2385. "Whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, abets, advises, or teaches the duty, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying the government of the United States or the government of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision therein, by force or violence, or by the assassination of any officer of any such government, or whoever, with intent to cause the overthrow or destruction of any such government, prints, publishes, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, or publicly displays any written or printed matter advocating, at, advising, or teaching the duty, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying any government in the United States by force or violence or attempts to do so, will be held accountable." So these individuals, they knowingly knew all of this. And this is what the documentation is going to show. Now, very interestingly, I just want to go back in time because Chuck Ross tweeted this out, and this is very interesting. Remember way back in the beginning with the New York Times when they started to break down what was happening with the FISAs, with Carter Page and everything else. Well, this is what Chuck Ross tweeted out. This was New York Times analysis after the first round of declassification of the Carter Page FISAs in July 2018. Needless to say, it doesn't hold up, but New York Times hasn't done a similar analysis pointing out all the flaws in the Schiff memo. And it says, new analysis, how a Trump decision revealed a GOP memo's shaky foundation. Let me continue with the tweet. Chuck Ross highlighted this section. Records that plainly demonstrate that key elements of Republicans' claims about the Bureau's actions were misleading or false. Well, actually, the New York Times is misleading and false. The Democrats were misleading and false. Let me continue with the thread here. This was embarrassing when it was written and even more embarrassing today. This is the part that's highlighted. But in respect after respect, the newly disclosed documents instead corroborated rebuttals by Democrats on the panel who had seen the top secret materials and accused Republicans of mischaracterizing them to protect the president. Well, that turned out to be fake, phony, and false also. Let me continue. We haven't seen New York Times follow up with similar statements that Adam Schiff has painted in an unflattering light after all these new revelations. This is what he highlighted. The record again cast an unflattering light on Representative Devin Nunes. No, it's the opposite way. Remember, everything the mainstream media, everything the central bank, everything the corrupt politicians do, the deep state, when they tell you something, it's always the opposite. They're projecting. Let me continue. This is also a pernicious lie, pushed by the media and congressional Democrats. Carter Page told Josh Rogan of the Washington Post in September 2016 that he spoke to Russian Deputy Prime Minister Arkady Dvorkovich during his Moscow trip in 2016. And let me read this section. Mr. Page has denied meeting with them, although he later contradicted his claims that he had not met with any Russian government officials on the trip. And now we know that there were a ton of problems with the FISA applications, and that two of the four have been invalidated. Where's New York Times analysis of Schiff? Well, they're not going to do one. We know why. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee, they're planning to send criminal referral to Prosecutor Durham for the potential prosecution of ex-FBI official Bill Priestab for making false statements concerning the dossier to the Senate Intelligence Committee. I mean, lying? Now, think about that. Remember in the beginning when we were discussing how Trump, the Patriots, were going to take everything that they were doing to Manafort, to Flynn, to Roger Stone, and the rest, how they were going to turn this around and use the lying against them? Because now, what are they going to say? They can't say anything because they already used this. And it's documented, and all we have to do is refer back to it and say, no, you said these people lied. So that means if you lie, you go to prison. This is the beginning stage of all of this. And the same thing with Flynn. It's turning out that Mueller actually lied to Flynn and to the American people. Barbara Flynn Redgate tweeted this out. Newly released General Flynn transcripts confirm General Flynn never lied to anyone. It was Mueller's team who lied to the court and country. And that's absolutely right. They did lie. And what's very interesting is Abigail tweeted this out. We haven't heard any tweets from these people since the last week of July. Lisa Page, last tweeted July 30th. Peter Strzok, last tweeted July 27th. James Comey, last tweeted July 24th. I wonder where they are, what they're doing right now. Remember, Kevin Kleinsmith is making a deal. These individuals, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Comey, they knowingly knew about all of this. So while all of this was happening, think about what Trump has been doing. Because you need to prepare for when you make the arrests. You need to prepare for when you bring these people to trial. So what do you need to do during this entire time so people have a fair trial where you actually use the rule of law? You need to replace the corrupt judges. So what's Trump been doing this entire time? He's been replacing the federal judges, and he's been putting judges into place. How many? 404 are now ready to go so we can return to the rule of law, because there will be law and order. This whole thing was planned from the beginning. Every piece was very important to get to the goal. And the goal is to bring all these people to justice and make sure that all of this sticks, that we didn't have corrupt judges in place. We've seen throughout Trump's presidency what the corrupt judges do. They don't follow the rule of law. They make up their own laws. Look at Judge Sullivan now. He's making it up as he goes along because he was instructed by Obama to continue this on as long as possible. Trump knew this. The Patriots knew this. And this is why all of these things are happening at the same time. You might not be able to see it, but when you look back in time, you're going to say, ah, now I understand. Now I understand why we had to replace all the judges. Now I know why we had to drain the swamp. Now I know why we had to gut the FBI. Now I know why we needed to have the deep state do what they do best so we can use it against them. Because all they're going to do, and I'm talking about the Patriots, they're going to go back to the beginning. The beginning of when they said, oh, look, these people lied to Congress. These people are liars. They have to go to jail. They're going to begin with that. And we could see it already. This is what they're doing. And then they're going to bring in other things, other documentation. They're going to bring in that they knowingly knew what they were doing and how they were committing treason. All of this has been planned from the beginning. And now Judge Kavanaugh, it seems that he's going after George Soros. The Supreme Court recently announced a decision by Kavanaugh that directly addressed George Soros' Open Society. Now, Kavanaugh, he ruled on a case involving George Soros, his prized entity, Open Society. The society was suing the Agency for International Development, and they lost. Now, Open Society was suing to enable its foreign entities to maintain policies that do not explicitly oppose prostitution and sex trafficking while obtaining U.S. government funds. Now, why wouldn't they oppose this? Think about it for a sec. Are they part of crimes against humanity? Of course they are. So Open Society entities overseas claim they should be eligible for government funding without having policies that oppose sex trafficking. No. They have no rights. They don't have the First Amendment rights here in the United States. And Kavanaugh ruled this, that foreign entities do not have First Amendment rights. And he's absolutely right.
Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news.
Now, the deep state, the mainstream media, they are spinning all the stories that have to do with FISA. They'll be spinning a lot of other stories when a lot of information starts to break, because they are being pushed into a corner. And this is exactly what the Patriots want. They want them to spin the stories. They want them to continually, knowingly lie about what has been really happening. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But first, we understand that Kevin Kleinsmith, he is going to sing like a bird. He's making a deal. And there's going to be more indictments, including conspiracy charges and others, that will be coming down the pike. And Devin Nunes, he was being interviewed on Fox. And he says, we have now have more evidence that the Department of Justice is working on individual indictments for clear crimes made by deep state individuals involved in Obamagate, similar the indictment of Kleinsmith this past week, but the major overreaching indictments related to conspiracies are also in the works. And Nunes also noted that there's a couple of important items related to the Durham investigation. He says, we've made 14 criminal referrals from our exhaustive 3.5-year investigation, and there is plenty to look at here. Now, what's really incredible about this is that just about a year ago, he said there were 8 referrals. So it went from 8 to 14 now, which is very interesting. And among the people who signed the FISA application include James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Sally Yates, and Andrew McCabe. And Nunes said the following. The third is what I would call a global leak referral. So there are about a dozen highly sensitive classified information leaks that were given to only a few reporters over the past 2.5+ years. So, you know, we don't know if there's actually been any leak investigations that have been open, but we do believe that we've got pretty good information and pretty good idea of who could be behind these leaks. Now, remember, this is just the beginning. The FISA is the start. This is the lead-in to everything else. Because remember, James Comey, he knew Carter Page was a CIA asset when he signed the multiple FISA warrants to spy on Carter Page and Trump. He knew this because Carter Page told him. Carter Page, before the first FISA warrant application, he sent Comey a direct letter that said, I work for the CIA. I'm not a Russian spy. Nunes has a copy of this letter. These individuals have been trapped by the cover-up. And this is what Paul Sperry tweeted out. When Kleinsmith lawyer claims it was never his intent to mislead the court of his colleagues, as he believed the information he relayed was accurate, he is contradicting the court filing, which states he did knowingly, and there's that word, knowingly, falsify document, knowing it contained false statements. Now, if Kevin Kleinsmith, if he knowingly knew all of this, James Comey knowingly knew this. Sally Yates, all the way up to Obama, they all knew. And that brings me back to Post 3638. This is December 2nd, 2019, 18 U.S. Code, Chapter 115, Treason, Sedition, Subversive Activities. And this is Section 2385. Whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, abets, advises, or teaches the duty, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying the government of the United States or the government of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision therein, by force or violence, or by the assassination of any officer of any such government, or whoever with intent to cause the overthrow or destruction of any such government prints, publishes, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, or publicly displays any written or printed matter advocating at, advising, or teaching the duty, desirability or propriety of overthrowing or destroying any government in the United States by force or violence or attempts to do so will be held accountable. So these individuals, they knowingly knew all of this. And this is what the documentation is going to show. Now, very interestingly, I just want to go back in time because Chuck Ross tweeted this out, and this is very interesting. Remember way back in the beginning with the New York Times, when they started to break down what was happening with the FISAs, with Carter Page and everything else? Well, this is what Chuck Ross tweeted out. This was New York Times analysis after the first round of declassification of the Carter Page FISAs in July 2018. Needless to say, it doesn't hold up, but New York Times hasn't done a similar analysis pointing out all the flaws in the Schiff memo. And it says, new analysis, how a Trump decision revealed a GOP memo's shaky foundation. Let me continue with the tweet. Chuck Ross highlighted this section. Records that plainly demonstrate that key elements of Republicans' claims about the Bureau's actions were misleading or false. Well, actually, the New York Times is misleading and false. The Democrats were misleading and false. Let me continue with the thread here. This was embarrassing when it was written and even more embarrassing today. This is the part that's highlighted. But in respect after respect, the newly disclosed documents instead corroborated rebuttals by Democrats on the panel who had seen the top secret materials and accused Republicans of mischaracterizing them to protect the president. Well, that turned out to be fake, phony, and false also. Let me continue. We haven't seen New York Times follow up with similar statements that Adam Schiff is painted in an unflattering light after all these new revelations. This is what he highlighted. The record again cast an unflattering light on Representative Devin Nunes. No, it's the opposite way. Remember, everything the mainstream media, everything the central bank, everything the corrupt politicians do, the deep state, when they tell you something, it's always the opposite. They're projecting. Let me continue. This is also a pernicious lie, pushed by the media and congressional Democrats. Carter Page told Josh Rogan of the Washington Post in September 2016 that he spoke to Russian Deputy Prime Minister Arkady Dvorkovich during his Moscow trip in 2016. And let me read this section. Mr. Page has denied meeting with them, although he later contradicted his claims that he had not met with any Russian government officials on the trip. And now we know that there were a ton of problems with the FISA applications, and that two of the four have been invalidated. Where's New York Times analysis of Schiff? Well, they're not going to do one. We know why. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee, they're planning to send criminal referral to Prosecutor Durham for the potential prosecution of ex-FBI official Bill Priestab for making false statements concerning the dossier to the Senate Intelligence Committee. I mean, lying? Now, think about that. Remember in the beginning when we were discussing how Trump, the Patriots, were going to take everything that they were doing to Manafort, to Flynn, to Roger Stone and the rest, how they were going to turn this around and use the lying against them. Because now, what are they going to say? They can't say anything because they already used this and it's documented. And all we have to do is refer back to it and say, no, you said these people lied. So that means if you lie, you go to prison. This is the beginning stage of all of this. And the same thing with Flynn. It's turning out that Mueller actually lied to Flynn and to the American people. Barbara Flynn Redgate tweeted this out. Newly released General Flynn transcripts confirm General Flynn never lied to anyone. It was Mueller's team who lied to the court and country. And that's absolutely right. They did lie. And what's very interesting is Abigail tweeted this out. We haven't heard any tweets from these people since the last week of July. Lisa Page, last tweeted July 30th. Peter Strzok, last tweeted July 27th. James Comey, last tweeted July 24th. I wonder where they are, what they're doing right now. Remember, Kevin Kleinsmith is making a deal. These individuals, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Comey, they knowingly knew about all of this. So while all of this was happening, think about what Trump has been doing. Because you need to prepare for when you make the arrests. You need to prepare for when you bring these people to trial. So what do you need to do during this entire time so people have a fair trial where you actually use the rule of law? You need to replace the corrupt judges. So what's Trump been doing this entire time? He's been replacing the federal judges, and he's been putting judges into place. How many? 404 are now ready to go so we can return to the rule of law, because there will be law and order. This whole thing was planned from the beginning. Every piece was very important to get to the goal. And the goal is to bring all these people to justice and make sure that all of this sticks, that we didn't have corrupt judges in place. We've seen throughout Trump's presidency what the corrupt judges do. They don't follow the rule of law. They make up their own laws. Look at Judge Sullivan now. He's making it up as he goes along because he was instructed by Obama to continue this on as long as possible. Trump knew this. The Patriots knew this. And this is why all of these things are happening at the same time. You might not be able to see it, but when you look back in time, you're going to say, ah, now I understand. Now I understand why we had to replace all the judges. Now I know why we had to drain the swamp. Now I know why we had to gut the FBI. Now I know why we needed to have the deep state do what they do best so we can use it against them. Because all they're going to do, and I'm talking about the Patriots, they're going to go back to the beginning. The beginning of when they said, oh, look, these people lied to Congress. These people are liars. They have to go to jail. They're going to begin with that. And we could see it already. This is what they're doing. And then they're going to bring in other things, other documentation. They're going to bring in that they knowingly knew what they were doing and how they were committing treason. All of this has been planned from the beginning. And now Judge Kavanaugh, it seems that he's going after George Soros. The Supreme Court recently announced a decision by Kavanaugh that directly addressed George Soros' Open Society. Now, Kavanaugh, he ruled on a case involving George Soros, his prized entity, Open Society. The society was suing the Agency for International Development, and they lost. Now, Open Society was suing to enable its foreign entities to maintain policies that do not explicitly oppose prostitution and sex trafficking while obtaining U.S. government funds. Now, why wouldn't they oppose this? Think about it for a sec. Are they part of crimes against humanity? Of course they are. So Open Society entities overseas claim they should be eligible for government funding without having policies that oppose sex trafficking. No. They have no rights. They don't have the First Amendment rights here in the United States. And Kavanaugh ruled this, that foreign entities do not have First Amendment rights. And he's absolutely right. But once again, it just exposed Open Societies, which is run by George Soros. Now, we know that the corrupt politicians, the D's, the deep state players, the mainstream media, they're making a very big deal about mail-in voting. We know they want to use this to manipulate the elections. If they can't manipulate the elections, we know they're going to use this to delay the elections. And they keep pointing the finger at Trump. They keep pointing the finger at the United States Postal Service. So let's break this down for a second. The U.S. Constitution, does it create the post office and require Congress to fund it? No, that's false. That's not true whatsoever. Under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7 of the Constitution, it gives Congress the power to establish post office boxes and roads. It requires nothing. It merely permits Congress to act, if Congress so chooses. So does the United States Post Office rely on Congress for funding? No. United States Post Office is an independent agency that is exclusively self-funded since 1971. It may receive small appropriations for public service costs and anything else, but mainly it funds itself. It's a private entity. Is the United States Postal Service in financial distress? And will it be insolvent before the November 2020 election? Yes, they are in distress. They have been for a very long time. But they will not be insolvent before the elections. That is not true. And we can see that the D's, the mainstream media, they're continually pushing everything they possibly can because they want mail-in voting. So they're using everything they possibly have to push this. So what do we come to find out? Well, there are certain individuals saying that Trump is out there and he's taking the mailboxes because he doesn't want mail-in voting. Well, once again, that is fake. The post office, they are removing the mailboxes because they are old and they're replacing them with newer ones. That's it. I know there's pictures going around and people saying that Trump is taking them. That is not true whatsoever. We have others that are saying, well, since the United States Postal Service has warned that they can't handle the amount of mails and there would be delays and things like that, why don't we have UPS or FedEx do it? Well, because a private company really can't handle mail-in ballots because the state ballots must be postmarked to be considered valid and only the United States Postal Service has lawful postmarking status. Therefore, UPS, FedEx, and other private parties cannot technically be involved in shipping ballots. So everything that the D's are trying to do is completely failing. I mean, think about it. If you go back to the beginning of this pandemic, they thought it was going to be shut down to all the way to election time. That didn't happen. Now people are out shopping. Now people are going to restaurants. Now people are at beaches. People are taking their boats out. People are going back on trips, flying. They're doing all these things. And as more and more people do this, the fear slips away. Even though people are wearing masks, you know what's happening over time? People now are getting used to it. Oh, look, yeah, you're wearing a mask, not a big deal. They're not afraid like they were in the beginning. And as time goes on, people won't even care anymore. So the fear factor is slipping away. It is not working. And what's very interesting is that everyone wants mail-in voting, from the corrupt politicians to the mainstream media, the deep state. But we have protesters protesting in front of the Postmaster General's home to say, we need mail-in voting. Think about that for a second. So the protesters, they're on the streets wearing their masks all together, saying that we can't go to the polls and we need mail-in voting, but they have no problem protesting together outside of the Postmaster General's home. Does that make sense? No, it does not. Every time they try to do something, people are seeing through this. It doesn't make sense to people. And what's very interesting, we know that one of their main missions, I'm talking about the deep state, their main missions is to take weapons away from the people. And out in Philadelphia, we have a reporter out there, and they're saying Philadelphia is seeing an increase in shootings. To combat the senseless gun violence, City Council, Philadelphia Police, and community groups organized a home gun check, urging residents to safely turn in firearms lying around their homes before they get into the wrong hands. Really, do you think this is where the gangs, the criminals, are getting the weapons from, people just having weapons laying around? No, these are purchased on the black market. This is ridiculous. Actually, Don Jr. tweeted this out. Are people really this dumb? Law-abiding citizens should turn in their guns and have no means to defend themselves, while outlaw criminals have been breaking the law, will keep weapons, and continue their criminal ways with a leg up. This is a special kind of stupid. I mean, are people buying this anymore? I don't think so. People now are much more awake than they've ever been. And when you hear reports like this, they just sound absolutely ridiculous. Now, what's very interesting, we know that the deep state, they're pushing their paid mercenary army, Antifa, and their Antifa armies are getting smaller and smaller. They're showing up in smaller numbers now. A lot of them are being arrested. But an Antifa group, they decided to crash the Sturgis biker rally in Sturgis, South Dakota. This was a big mistake. They're standing there in the middle. The bikers are riding their bikes next to them, past them on the street. The police are directing traffic, and one of these Antifa individuals decided to kick the bike while someone was riding by. Well, that's all they needed, and the bikers pounced on them, and the police had to protect Antifa. Now, think about that for a second. They had to protect Antifa, you know, because Antifa is out there saying that we don't need police, defund the police, but here the police are defending them. And what you see from this is that the American people have had enough. If you're going to hit us, we're going to hit you back. It's called self-defense. And we're seeing it more and more as time goes on. Now, very interestingly, we know that Antifa has been destroying statues all across the country because they're trying to get rid of American history. And history is very, very important so we can learn from it, so we can move on. When you remove history, you erase what has happened. And those in power, they have the ability to repeat it because nobody remembers. Now, people say, well, what do you mean? I remember it. No, I'm talking about the next generation, then the generation after that. Because if you remove the statues, you're going to remove it from history class. You remove it from everything else, and people don't remember. And once people don't remember, that's how the deep state can then go ahead and repeat everything that they did in the past. So Trump, he's decided to use his salary to repair and restore the monuments that were damaged by Antifa, by the deep state. Remember, he's not taking a salary. He donates his salary. So he's giving a check of $100,000 to repair the monuments across the country. Once again, countering everything the deep state is trying to do. Now, what's very interesting is that the largest police union has endorsed Trump, the New York City police union. Not really surprising, because we've seen what de Blasio has been doing. It seems that they have woken up and they realize, you know something? He's not for us. Biden is not for us. Trump is for us. And this is why they're backing him. Now, very sadly, Trump's younger brother, Robert, passed away. My condolences to the Trump family. But it seems that the mainstream media, they couldn't even let Trump have one day with writing a respectful headline. I mean, they gave more respect to al-Baghdadi, you know, the head of the Islamic State, the individual that tortured people, killed people, had sex slaves, tortured women and children, killed people for no reason. This is what the Post wrote about al-Baghdadi. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. This is what the Washington Post wrote about Robert Trump. Robert Trump, younger brother of President Trump, who filed lawsuit against niece, dies at 71. Wow. Unbelievable. But you know something? The silent majority is getting larger, stronger, and more powerful. Trump even mentioned this at a presser. Take a listen to what he said.
Success. I think we have a silent majority, the likes of which has never been seen before. I think you read about it, where 62% of the people say they're not even telling the truth on polling, and where the polling is fake, you know, where they do registered voters and where they do many more Democrats than they do Republicans. Same as happened last time. But this year, I think we have much more enthusiasm. Maybe those people back there would understand it better than anybody. But I think there's more enthusiasm for 2020 than there was even for 2016.
Trump is letting everyone know that the silent majority is larger, more powerful than ever. And we see proof of this. We see it all over the country. From Clearwater, Florida, there were over 1,000 boats. They made a boat parade to support Trump, the country. Flags were out, flags were flying, and it was just unbelievable. They had people parachuting from the sky with the American flag, with the Trump flag. They had boats all over the place with the American flag. And this is the silent majority. The silent majority is growing and growing and growing and becoming more and more powerful. Everything the deep state has been doing, everything that they've tried to do, has been failing. It's actually boomeranged on them. And it's not working for them now. People are waking up. They're understanding what's really going on here. But what's very interesting is that Trump, he tweeted out a picture of this boat parade. And the individual that he tweeted out is Wynn1745. Now, the picture of Wynn is Q. Now, that's very interesting. But what I find interesting is that Wynn1745, 17 is Q, 45 is President Trump. So if we go back to 1745, and I'm talking about the Post, it says the following. FISA equals start. FISA equals immediate conf of illegal acts, RE signers. And that's confirmation, by the way. FISA equals immediate confirmation start of Hussein's spy campaign to rig an election was based on false info. FISA equals implicates Hillary Rodham Clinton, D party, as feeders of false info with the intent of securing mainstream media and blast insurance. FISA implicates senior members of UK MI5, 6, SIS, US Intel, White House, 5i, Republican Party, Congress, Senate, of known corruption in an effort to retain power and rig election, plus safeguarded events by political kill to act while in power, given mainstream media fake push Russia narrative. FISA equals ties, mainstream media heads, TV behind corporations, the D party, other foreign heads of state in cooperation strategy. FISA brings down the House. Freedom of Information Act requests does not include FISA. Declassed by POTUS, key parts that factually demonstrate the dirty fake dossier was used as a primary source to secure highest level of intel, spying on primary Republican opponent, plus post-election intel assets for domestic spying on the President of the United States for the Office of the Presidency of the United States of America. Logical thinking. Public awareness. FISA spying. Foundation. Built Huber. No spelling errors intended. Mobile. Unknown. if above, letting us know that the FISA is the start, which we knew. This is the beginning. Kleinsmith is squealing. He's singing like a bird. And those individuals that signed off, that knowingly signed off, they're in trouble. This is going all the way to the top. This is just the beginning. And those people that lied, who knowingly lied about what they were doing, well, they're in trouble. Remember, go back to the beginning. What did they get people on? I'm talking about the deep state. Mueller, they got people on lying. This is when the Patriots are going to use this right now against the deep state players, because they're going to use what they have done against them. It's all coming back around now. Who's in control? The Patriots. The public is learning. The mainstream media, everything that they put out there, everything Schiff put out there, is turning out to be fake, phony, and false. Remember, they all read the same documents. They all knew the same things. One party lied. The other told the truth. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.
We have had a really big week for news. And one of the big stories was that Joe Biden picked a running mate after weeks of speculation. And just like Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog that surfaces every year in Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania, Joe Biden popped up out of his basement and announced his selection of California Senator Kamala Harris. Now, the Biden campaign had castigated Fox News host Tucker Carlson for calling her Kamala. But then on the actual announcement day, Joe Biden actually called her both Kamala and Kamala in the same sentence. Go figure. So, look, she brings some charisma to the campaign without a doubt, but she was named the most liberal senator in the entire U.S. Senate in 2019, more liberal than Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And that's saying something. She's in the past called Joe Biden a racist and said she believed the women who said that Joe sexually harassed them. But as is typical in politics, what she said then and what she is willing to say now are two different things, two very different things. She proves that the vice presidency is a job no one claims to want, but no one ever turns it down. Now, will she campaign only in the basement like Joe Biden? Or will she actually become the public face of the campaign and let Joe give tightly scripted, occasional comments with no spontaneous questions from the media? Another story. While Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats have broken off discussions to deal with the coronavirus economic impact, to folks like you, President Trump announced a huge Middle East breakthrough with the United Arab Emirates to establish full diplomatic relations. This is huge. And tonight in the show, we're going to be talking with U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman. But suffice it to say, this is a historic breakthrough for peace in the Middle East. And it's a major blow to Iran, who increasingly is isolating itself from being part of the world neighborhood. It's frankly being relegated to the status of the hateful, cranky neighbor who puts razor blades in apples to give to trick-or-treaters on Halloween. That's Iran. Now, this was a significant victory for President Trump, and it exposed, once again, the disastrous deal that the Obama administration had made with Iran, in which pallets of U.S. cash was delivered in cargo planes. The first $400 million literally delivered on pallets, and a total of $1.7 billion paid in all. Every bit of it in U.S. cash. That was your money. Obama and Biden bankrolled Iran. President Trump has bankrupted them. That's going to be an interesting point of contrast in the debates this year. Then there's another item. Riots, looters, mobs continue a reign of terror across the country, and a lot of Democrat politicians refuse to stop it or even speak out against it. In Chicago, thugs overran a Ronald McDonald House for sick children and terrorized seriously sick kids inside who were being treated for cancer and all manner of diseases. a Ronald McDonald House in Bend, Oregon. A mob that included the city council member and the local district attorney surrounded some buses that were carrying illegal immigrants who were convicted of violent crimes. And these public officials were demanding that those convicted of the crimes be freed from custody. Think about that. The standoff itself lasted for over 12 hours. The local prosecutor actually took the side of the illegal aliens, two of which had been convicted, not just charged, convicted with domestic violence. So elected officials there stood for domestic violence and wife beating by illegals instead of standing with the law enforcement officials and the victims of the crimes. Let that sink in. And then make sure you realize that you're going to be voting for more than the personalities or even the people on the ballot. You're going to be taken aside on issues like whether we should stand with Iran or Israel, whether we should uphold the law and punish criminals or punish the citizens by defunding police departments and looking the other way at mob violence, looting, riots, and destruction of public property and the theft of private property. If that choice is really hard for you to make, you might want to rethink whether you should even vote. I mean, maybe dead people voting would be better. It sure wouldn't be worse. That's for sure.
It's the first criminal case brought by John Durham's review. Former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith expected to plead guilty for falsifying a document to justify surveillance on a former Trump campaign advisor.
Here to react, ranking member of the House Intel Committee, GOP Congressman Devin Nunes. Congressman, thanks for being here. You've been ahead of the curve on all of this since the beginning. You took a ton of criticism when it first started. Now that there's this first guilty plea in the Durham probe, put us under the hood. Should we expect more?
Well, we sure hope so. I want to make sure everyone knows that this was one of the main attorneys that was involved in all the different aspects of what happened during this Russian hoax that was perpetrated on the American people and on the Republican Party and the president himself and his team. It's important to remember that this is the attorney that I always called the French-speaking attorney. He was the one that said, "Vive la resistance," when he was asked, "Is he going to quit?" He was also very concerned about whether or not that his name was on a lot of these documents. So he clearly knew that he had a problem right after the election. I think that Durham is letting him off extremely easy. There's multiple indictments that could have been brought, probably including conspiracy and including destruction of evidence. So my guess is maybe he's going to cooperate, maybe he's not, but this is a good first step.
What do you anticipate, Congressman, coming next? Will there be more revelations of deceit? What's your guess?
Well, if you listen to what Attorney General Barr said the other night on his interview with Mark Levin, I guess it was last Sunday, about a week ago, I thought he said something along the lines that there's a lot of conspiracies here that have to be tracked down. And that's what people have to remember. This was such, the corruption here was so wide and broad-based, it stretches not just from the FBI and the Department of Justice, it also stretches back to the Democratic National Committee, the Clinton campaign, many operatives, foreign spies. Everybody talks about, the mainstream media continues to talk about Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, they're also implicated in this fiasco also. They were involved, they were receiving the dossier. There's also a very popular left-wing think tank in Washington, D.C. called the Brookings Institute. They're knee-deep in this. The Department of Defense was funneling money over to a group in Cambridge that was actually spying on the Trump campaign. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I hope that at least before the election, we get a full report of everything that I just laid out so that we know at least exactly what happened. And from there, a lot of people need to be brought to justice for this. But the main thing is we need the truth.
Shifting topics for one moment, Congressman, I want to ask you about a proposed law in your home state, a wealth tax in California. It'd be the first of its kind in the United States. Under this proposal, residents who leave California, move out of the state, could be taxed for up to 10 years on their wealth. Does this have any hope of passing in California? What do you make of this proposal?
Well, what you're watching is California was really the first state that went into socialism, into one-party control. Essentially, a Politburo took over the Democratic Party. You move people, apparatchiks like Kamala Harris, who's really never run for anything. She's never had to run. One time she got on the stage as a front runner in the Democratic presidential candidate. She flamed out. She was so embarrassed. She didn't even wait for Iowa because she was probably going to finish last. So this is a party that has moved towards socialism. Now what you're seeing is the next step, which ultimately is communism, because they don't have enough of other people's money to pay for everything. So what they're talking about doing is they're talking about going through and assessing everyone, and they're just taking part of that money. Now, surprisingly, the people that they're going to hit the hardest will be the tech tyrants and the tech oligarchs that live in Silicon Valley, which, by the way, they don't vote for Republicans. Now, you've already seen Elon Musk, Tesla. He's now moving his operations to Texas. My guess is he's going to be out of California. If this gets anywhere close to passing, what you will see, even their best supporters, the tech oligarchs, will leave. They will leave California, and they won't be back. And so this is not a solution, but it's what happens when you make the transition from socialism to communism.
They're flirting with the idea of kicking out their tax base, which means they can't do anything that they want. Which
not kicking them out, Pete. Clawing them back after they move away.
That's true. I stand corrected. Yeah. Devin Nunes, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
He filed a lawsuit on behalf of the Daily Caller for records pertaining to Dr. Anthony Fauci and the World Health Organization. The Department of Health and Human Services failed to respond to an April 1st FOIA request, Freedom of Information request, for communications Fauci had with WHO officials about the WHO in the early days of the Wuhan virus pandemic. Joining us tonight to take all of that up, Tom Fitton. He is the president of Judicial Watch. Tom, great to see you. And why do we need to know what Fauci was saying to the WHO?
Well, there are lots of reasons. First of all, it's a crisis that shut the country down, so we need to know the details of how it was handled by the government initially. But more importantly, what that corrupt agency, WHO, was telling our senior officials like Dr. Fauci, not only about coronavirus, but about China's connections to it. So we can't FOIA WHO, at least I don't think we can directly, but we can talk to or try to get documents from agencies that were talking to WHO, and that's sure. Why our client, Daily Caller News Foundation, was so smart to ask NIH for the materials. And what's troubling is they haven't given us the records. And you know, transparency is urgent. The laws on transparency don't get revoked. When an agency's busy, they need to follow the law here, and that's why we're in court.
Well, there are other agencies that have taken exactly that route and declared that they are too busy to follow the law, which is a stunning position for any government agency, whether it's the NIH or the Justice Department or FBI. You're right. Experiencing, I guess, both at this particular point. What do you expect to find?
We're going to find the WHO is probably playing playing defense for China early on, mimicking or pushing out the narrative that China was pushing out early on. And if it misled Fauci, if it misled our top agency officials, there's got to be accountability for what went on. And we want to find the evidence here. You know, we know what publicly was said. My guess is it was even worse privately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on this broadcast, in fact, Dr. Fauci in January and February was, if not being of great assistance to the WHO, he was certainly being supportive of their efforts and certainly not wanting to press too hard the need to for American doctors to be able to go into Wuhan and visit that laboratory. He was very, I would say, accommodating at that point. We knew we were to learn later all that had transpired between the WHO and the communist government of China. It's a troubling tale indeed of what the WHO did to align itself with the communist Chinese government.
Well, Fauci, like Dr. Tedros, who's the head of WHO, you have to remember at this level, all of these folks are colleagues. So you need a second set of eyes to look at the communications. Dr. Fauci was hearing it from his colleagues about what was going on with coronavirus, and he may not be the best judge to tell us what he was learning and what he should have known and what we should have known generally and acted upon. We need to do an audit of what happened with our U.S. government and what we were hearing with from WHO on behalf of China. It looks like they were a cutout for China, and I think these documents are going to show it. And, you know, Dr. Fauci admits, he says, look, I didn't recognize initially how susceptible, how transmittable this was and how it could be spread so easily. Did that come because of lies out of China? It looks that way. And was WHO involved in pushing those lies? It looks that way, too.
The president's made it clear. The president makes it clear. He has seen evidence to exactly that point. Tom, let's talk about Christopher Wray. He's under some considerable heat, Congressman Andy Biggs, Congressman Jim Jordan. They mean to find out what in the hell he is doing. But, you know, frankly, I've watched him throughout. Stonewall every agency, Congress, and do so with a arrogant smirk on his face as he did. And now the questions about General Flynn make it absolutely critical that he be investigated.
The worst corruption in the FBI's history, arguably, has been around the abuse of Trump, people like General Flynn and others. And FBI Director Wray just gives it a shrug of his shoulders, saying, well, we'll have better training of our FBI agents, who really had nothing to do with it, in the sense that it was the FBI leadership at the top levels in D.C. That were pushing this corruption through the corrupt FISA process. He knew or should have known about what went on with Flynn. Right now, there's 8,000 documents, 8,000 pages of records they're still sitting on between Page and Strzok emails. The FBI under Wray has taken the position that no text messages that Page sent out, Strzok sent out, McCabe sent out, mm-hmm. or anyone else sent out, is subject to FOIA. The cover-up is continuing under Director Wray. To me, it's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Attorney General Barr needs to step in and just take the documents. I mean, this is just ought not to be a choice. If there's a criminal investigation going on, why does the FBI have any flexibility here? We wouldn't if we were under investigation. Is the FBI under investigation for this criminal conduct or not? If so, then why haven't the agency's servers been taken from the agency by the prosecutors, Mr. Durham? That's the way a criminal investigation is done, but I don't think we're seeing a criminal investigation. I think we're seeing an administrative review that may result in a crime here or there being prosecuted, but nothing serious. I'm tired of it, Lou. We got to call it as it is.
Well, absolutely. And, Tom, I do think this just may be the FBI's view of some kind of reciprocity. They didn't want to disturb the DNC and actually look at their servers, directly. So perhaps they feel that no one should look at their servers. I guess it's some sort of weird swamp arrangement.